I want to encourage you today to believe God for complete victory in your life. There's nothing that is in your life, no circumstance, no battle, no struggle that God does not have answers for. God has already laid out a path for you from where you are to victory in your life in every area you can think of. The scripture says that the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In the world, we have a saying that knowledge is power. And today we're going to talk about where the real power and real knowledge lies. It's in the Spirit of God, and because it's in the Spirit of God, and because God has all the answers, I want to encourage you to believe and to trust, and today to know that you can hold on to and get those answers from God. The difference is, if you're seeking after God to fix your problem, then really you're seeking after an experience with God. I need God to touch me. I need an anointing. I need to be in a service. I need to do something to get God to rescue me from my situation. I know there are situations where God's hand comes in and sets people free. That's why we cast out devils. That's why we break the power of the enemy. There's healing for people. That's miraculous. But there's also a whole building of knowledge, a whole building block of truth, where if you know that you can receive truth from God and that He wants to give it to you, then that is a relationship with God that you seek for. And unfortunately, many in the church today are seeking experiences. They're chasing after prophets and men and words and experiences and anointings and glory and so many things they're chasing after, seeking after God's touch. But if you know that you can grow and mature in the knowledge of God, that means in every area that you're believing for, every area that you're struggling through, every area of your calling, the way to get there isn't by a touch of God as much as learning from Him who you are. The knowledge of God is power to walk in all that God has for you. We're going to start in John and look here in John chapter 3. In verse 1, John 3 and verse 1. I pray today that you're really encouraged to see that you're not behind in the ability to know God. Sometimes as believers, especially when I was young, I'd hear preachers talk and they say things like, God spoke to me, God told me. We all say that, God spoke to me. And I actually thought that the preachers had like a earpiece that God was speaking into, that they heard Him that clearly, that God was actually speaking to them, and they could hear Him audibly. But after I grew a little bit and began to inspect and ask people and my own experience, I found that very few believers actually hear the audible voice of God. It's mostly how they interpret what He's speaking to them personally. And so, if you don't know the knowledge of God is yours, you'll quit seeking after it and start to expect other people to bring things to you. But when you know that you can actually, you and I personally, can know the deep things of God, that God isn't hiding things from us, that He wants to share the wonders of the universe with us, the knowledge of how to walk through our family situations, our financial situations, our callings, our church, our ministries, that He wants to be involved with every area, and He has power and truth and knowledge to help you to walk in it. Rather than always seeking an experience, experiences are wonderful, but they're not to be the bedrock of who we are. The bedrock, the strength of who we are, is in knowing who we are. Verse 1, chapter 3 of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, now Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He served God in the Old Testament, Old Covenant. Pharisees by the age of 12 have memorized the first five books of the Bible. So he was a man who understood, who knew Scripture and served God, lived a holy life. And Jesus said to him, verse 3. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is powerful here, and I want you to examine this scripture. Jesus tells a man of God in the Old Testament, a man who's dedicated his life to serving God through the Old Covenant, a man who had memorized the first five books of the Bible since he was 12 years old. He's a man who lived, for all reasonings, a holy lifestyle, a dedicated lifestyle to God. And Jesus said to him, a representative of God to the Jews, a Pharisee, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That one's not born again, even under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you'll not understand or see the kingdom of God until you're born again. So there's something here that we have to accept and see, that before you're born again, you could not receive the knowledge of God. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Did God change, or has he been the same? Between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, did God change? Well, God's never changed. He's always the same. So what changed? What has changed that allows me to see the kingdom of God after I'm born again versus not seeing or understanding the kingdom of God before I'm born again? Well, we know that we changed. That when we accepted Jesus, something changed in me that allowed me to now see and understand things that I couldn't see before. Jesus tells the disciples that I have to speak to you in parables because you won't understand until after you're born again, or until after he leaves. And so there's a truth that God has for people that he can't give them, not because he can't do it, but because they can't comprehend it or understand it until after they are born again. Well, praise God, we're born again. So what changed in us? What practically changed in me when I accepted Jesus? I knew I felt it. I felt tingly. I felt something changed, but I couldn't at the time tell you what happened. I just knew something had changed. Well, now I know that I received a new nature, that my old nature of sin and darkness was taken out and replaced with a nature of life and love that came from Jesus. But not only that, that new nature brought to life my inner man, my spirit body, my spirit man. My inner man is now alive. And it's through that inner man that's alive that now I can comprehend the things of God. Just think about it. For the next gazillion years, when we're around the throne room of God, do you think you're going to learn something new about God a gazillion years from now that you didn't know the day before? Absolutely. We'll never come to the end of God. We'll never come to the end of knowing his love or knowing his wisdom or knowing his peace and joy. We'll never come to the end of that. Every day, forever, we're going to learn something new, but we're going to be able to understand it. We're going to be able to receive it. Why? Because our inner man, our spiritual body, is alive for eternity. It's alive for everlasting because we're born again. So the church went through a big change, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, the world people went through a big change the moment Jesus died and was resurrected. And the New Covenant was sealed by the blood of Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that because I'm fearful, if I could say it this way, that many believers live understanding life through their natural man simply because they don't know that they have access to the spiritual truths that come from God. That now they can understand, they can see because they're born again, whereas before they couldn't see. So here is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'll turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth. And he's about to make some really powerful statements. I'm going to start in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are not saved, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? For has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. For Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews it's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. But to those who are called, that be you and I, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. So let's just pause here and look at this. He's making a great separation between wisdom from men, wisdom from this world, and wisdom that comes from God. And know that before you were saved, you cannot comprehend God's truth, God's wisdom. But now that you're saved, you have access to the wisdom that comes from God. So there's wisdom in this world, but wisdom can either come from this world or come from God. The biggest difference is to know that wisdom from this world always comes to an end. It can only take you so far in life, can only take you so far in your circumstances. But God's wisdom, if you go there for advice and you go to Him for wisdom, if you go to the Word for direction and correction, that wisdom never comes to an end. It's good for the rest of eternity. Verse 20. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God is on a mission to take you down a path of His wisdom. To the world, it may look foolish. To the world, it may not seem wise when you're obeying God and following God. But He says that that foolishness will put away the wisdom of the world. The world can only take you so far. It can only work with certain people. It can only work with people who are capable. But in God's kingdom, we're all equal. We're all capable because we all have the ability through our born-again nature and our born-again human spirit. We now have the ability to know God, whereas before, we couldn't. And much of what Paul is preaching here is to the church. This is to a bunch of Christians. Quit acting like a bunch of carnal people. See, you can be born again and still live your life on the wisdom of this world, on the philosophies of this world, trying to find success, happiness, victory, everything, all using natural means. Paul says that's carnal. Even with Corinthians, they walked in the gifts and in miracles. It wasn't enough. It wasn't the same as growing in the knowledge of God. And he tells them so, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. So in other words, you can't take any glory. You'll never be able to say, I earned this, I deserved it. Everything from God is not earned. It's earned by Jesus. It's deserved only because of the blood of Jesus. Not because you've earned it or deserved it, but because you received it by faith in what Jesus has already done for you. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of Him you are in Christ. So thank God if you're born again. Thank God when you got born again, I'm now in Christ. Thank God, because now all things are possible. Always remember, you and I can never get the impossible answer from the possible world. Too many believers are trying to win the world using possible means. Being Canadian, it's in our kind of in our culture to work together and to be nice to one another to a certain extent. At least publicly, we're nice to each other. And we can rally together a group of people, and we can do a lot, accomplish and do a lot of good things in the name of God. I watched one video where they showed a group of Amish people, and there was probably 100 Amish men with no cranes, with no power tools. They all had just hammers and nails and handsaws, and they built a barn. And these hundreds of men, what they would do is one of them would want to build a barn, and so they'd all get together, and then the next week we'd go to work on someone else's yard, someone else's barn. And they put up a barn in one day, a whole barn, just men working together. It was an amazing, they sped the video through fast, and you can just, you're amazed at how, like, they were like ants working together. They built this huge, incredible barn just by the power of man working together. Well, God doesn't want victory in your life to be because you work together to do something good for Him. He's pleased with that, but He has something better for you. Something that is impossible, that can only come from God. That no flesh can glory and say, we did this for God. That all glory will go to God and say, God did this through me. And it wasn't because I was worthy, it was because He's God. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. What a life we can have, a glorying in God, giving God glory. All of our answers, all of our victories come in Him. Now, I know this may sound a little bit odd to some people, like, well, can't we, I mean, what's wrong with practical thinking? You know, God doesn't want us to be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. And I understand that. But understand that practical wisdom from this world, from culture, will only take you so far. It will come to an end. It will stop one day. It will not have answers for the impossible. The highest medical people in the world cannot do things. They can only go so far to help people. But then it stops, and eventually you need a miracle. And that only comes from God. And if we live our whole life built around practical, worldly wisdom, when we hit something that's impossible, we will wonder where we are. How did that fail? Well, maybe you've lived your whole life trying to serve God through the natural man, through the carnal man, through carnal wisdom. And the Apostle Paul is trying to be very clear. There's two sources of wisdom. One is from the world. And the wisdom of the world, he's not talking about partying and drinking and pornography and worldliness, going to the bar on the weekend. He's not talking about that here. He's talking about living life for God, but using the natural wisdom of this world, which can include those things, those unholy things. But it's not limited to unholiness. Sometimes it's good works, rallying together to try to do something good for God. Whereas he says that he doesn't want any glory to go to man, that the flesh cannot glory in God's presence. That all the glory, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. If you're going to give God a testimony, it should always be, God did this, and I was amazed to be a part of it, to be included with what he was doing. I was just on for the ride. I remember I got a phone call to go do a service and to preach somewhere on, and it was an amazing opportunity. And I remember telling myself, oh, you've done it. That's amazing. God is promoting you now, Alan, because of your faithfulness. God's promoting you because you've been faithful and a great servant, and you've been loyal. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord speak in me, to me. He said, no, I'm not promoting you. He said, you have enough truth in you that I can use it to help people. I'm promoting my truth in you. And it was so humbling and shocking for me to realize that promotion from God was coming, not because of anything I did. He wasn't even actually promoting me. He was promoting himself in me, and I was just along for the ride. Well, this is the knowledge of God that he wants to put in us, knowledge specific for your calling, specific for your circumstances, that the lack of knowledge is the reason we're destroyed. So the question then comes, where do I get knowledge? And many people live their life, and if everything goes smooth and nothing rocks the boat too much, everything's great. But as soon as something rocks and it looks like it's going to fall apart, that's when we get desperate and start searching for answers, looking online, looking to people, trying to find a pathway through. But there's a life that you and I can have, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what we go through, where we're at peace, that we're going to have victory. Because we know where the answer to victory is, even for the impossible things that man in the world cannot help you. If the medical field has given up on you, if finances have given up on you, if your ability has stopped at a certain place, the world may have limited you, but God has not, because there's access to all of God for you. Not because of your calling, not because you're an apostle or a mighty prophet or a teacher. This is for every believer to understand, that every believer has access to the full wisdom and knowledge of God, and He wants us to grow by that wisdom. And that's where He wants us to get our victory and our answer. When He said that the cross, the message of the cross, is foolishness to the world, He's not necessarily talking about how the blood of Jesus and the suffering of Jesus. He's talking about what the cross brought to you. The cross brought you the ability to be born again. Our life began at the cross. And your walk of God began at the cross, and you accepting salvation through the work that Jesus did at the cross. Chapter 2, verse 1. And just stay with me, if you will, please. I know I'm reading lots of scriptures today, but it's important because there's an image in here where you will discover that I came to life when I was born again. And because I came to life, my inner man, I have access to the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, mysteries of eternity. Because I changed, not because He changed, because I changed. Now my inner man is alive. I have a spiritual mind that can grasp and comprehend God, know the deep things of God, know the secrets of God, know the victories, how to walk in victory, how to overcome everything. But the way to do it is God's way, not the world's way. The world will always have answers. And the thing is, you're still wearing your natural man. Your outward man is still alive. It's dead in the sense it's dead unto God, but it's still operating. It still has thoughts and opinions and ideas that will only agree with the world's system of thoughts and ideas and wisdom. But you also have a spiritual body, a spiritual mind, a spiritual man that will only agree with the things of God. I often say that God's the father of your spirit. He's not the father of your flesh. And that's why when there's natural answers, my flesh agrees and gets excited. Oh, we have an answer. But my inner man doesn't always agree with it. And so it's very important that as we grow in God, we feed the inner man with the knowledge of God. And we also learn to distinguish between what is spirit and what is flesh. Because the flesh sometimes can sound really good. The flesh can get excited about answers, but those answers are short-lived. They will never last. They'll always come to an end. The answers that come from God are for eternity. They last forever. Many times we'll have people try to get their family saved using natural means. I remember I would pester my sisters all the time, trying to get them born again. And I'd bother them. I would make them feel guilty the whole time, try to manipulate them to come to church. And eventually they stopped wanting to be around me because I was annoying. And I thought I just would pester them into church, into salvation. And the Lord told me, He said, I need you to stop witnessing to your sisters. I said, what? God, that's my job. My job is to witness to them. He said, no, your job is to pray for them and to love them. I will send the right ones for the harvest. He said, you're only witnessing to them because you're afraid. And I said, no, it's my job. I am to witness and share the gospel, right? I'm supposed to witness and get them saved. And He said, no, that's not your responsibility, Alan. Your job is to pray for them and to love them. And He helped me to understand that my desire, my drive to witness and to share came from my natural man trying to accomplish something because I was afraid. The Lord told me, you don't believe in prayer, the power of prayer. You're afraid that your prayer won't work. So you've taken matters into your own hands, in the natural hands, and are trying to accomplish something spiritual through the carnal man, through carnal thinking, carnal ability. And so that helped me to let go of that care and just to pray and love my family. And one by one, they've come into the kingdom of God and are coming into the kingdom of God through prayer. Because they can't stop me from praying, and they can't stop me from loving them. They may stop me from witnessing to them, but they can't stop me from praying and loving them. And so I had to choose, do I carnally try to do the work of God, which can make sense logically, but spiritually, with spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom, there's a path also to do stuff that is contrary in foolishness to the natural man. And that's going to be in every area of our life that we serve God with. I'll start in chapter 2 again, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And boy, this is, if there's anything preached today on social media, this is it. We have a lot of good preaching going on that's really just good advice, social advice, good counsel, but it's not the same as the power of God and wisdom of God. There is wisdom from God that only comes from God. It doesn't come from people giving their philosophies. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So again, he's telling us a contrast between wisdom in the world and wisdom of the Spirit. Wisdom from God, from the throne room, from the mind of God, and wisdom that comes from culture and from the world. They're two different things. They may sound a lot alike sometimes, but they come from two different sources. They always have come from two different sources. But now, because we're born again, we can understand the wisdom that comes from God Himself. Truth of the Spirit is like a building block, a rock, a brick of truth that once you get into your spiritual mind, your spiritual man, it never leaves you. It'll stay there. And because you got the one truth, you're able to comprehend the next truth. This does not come from the world. It doesn't come from man's thinking, man's ideas. This only comes from the wisdom of God, from the mind of God, from the throne room itself. God has wisdom in His mind. Think about it. In the throne room of heaven right now, there's great wisdom for your situation. And God wants to and is willing to give it to you. But you have to receive it by the Spirit and not by the flesh. However, verse 6, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, for they're coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now this is a quote from the Old Testament, but many times I've heard the same quote given to me when I was talking about knowing God. And people, in well-meaning people, say, well, you're going through a hard time, but understand, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which are prepared for those who love Him. His ways are higher than our ways, so you just have to trust. But that's not at all what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that before salvation, just like He told Nicodemus, until you're born again, man cannot see, no one can see, you can't see the kingdom of God. The only way for our eyes to be opened to see the kingdom of God is we must first be born again, because the kingdom of God is spelt out in spiritual truths that come from God. And the only way for us to really comprehend, when I say comprehend, I mean understand, and that truth lives in us, it becomes a part of us, is through the inner man being alive, the new nature brought to life, your inner man. And now, because your inner man is alive, you have the capacity through your spiritual mind to communicate with God, to hear God, to understand God. He's not withholding any secret from us. And that's such a beautiful thing he says here. Verse 9, talking about before Christ, before the cross. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But, verse 10, but, big but, God has revealed them, what? These secrets, this revelation that could not be comprehended, that was hidden from man, that God could not share with man. But God has revealed these things to us. See, now that we're born again, to us, we have access, you have access to the deep wisdom of God. The wisdom of God does not come from this earth. The earth and this world and our culture can come up with great slogans, great philosophies to help you do better, to help you be more successful in this world, but it comes to an end. In life, you'll find that many people, they whistle along through life, they skip along through life until they hit something that their philosophy that this world cannot answer. And then they try to seek God for the answer, usually through an experience. They go to a man of God, they go to a church representing God, they go to the Word of God seeking an answer, when really we should be seeking these answers from the moment we're saved, not just when we hit a dead end with the knowledge that we gain from this world. And I'm hoping to shake you up today to start to question some of your philosophies, some of the things that you hold on to as truths that maybe are from this world in our culture. And know that they may be good, but are they good enough? What's only going to last for eternity will come only from the Father, from the mind of God. And He will teach you. The reason He can teach you now, the reason you can see the kingdom of God now, is because you're born again, because you have His Spirit, His nature in you, and that nature brought to life your inner man. Your inner body now is light and life, and your inner mind, your spiritual mind now, can obtain and hold on to truths that come directly from the Father to you. But God has revealed these secrets, these mysteries, to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. This is not the Holy Spirit here. Here He's talking about your new nature brought to life, your inner man. Because you have that Spirit, that new nature in you, now things change. Because God never changes. So He's the same God that He was a billion years ago in the Old Testament as He is in the New Testament, as He is with you. You changed because of the cross, because of Jesus. You're born again. Now you have access to God directly by the new nature because of the Spirit. And that Spirit, now that that Spirit's in you, it's brought to life your inner man. And it's searching for truth. It's searching for knowledge. It's searching for answers that it will only find in the Father. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Again, that's not through the Holy Spirit. If it was just the Holy Spirit was here in the Old Testament, He could have shared the answers with them in the Old Testament. The difference is you now have His nature, His Spirit in you, and you're alive, your inner man's alive because of it. Now you can understand the things of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So because a man is not born again, he has the nature of a man, an unborn again, dark nature that he got from Adam. So he searches the things of man. So if you're not born again, you're going to search the wisdom of this world. But once you're born again, there is an awakening of hunger for spiritual truths. And what I don't want is for us to take that hunger and direct it to experiences. I'm hungering, every believer, once they get born again, starts to hunger. A hunger rises up. The same way around lunchtime you get hungry. You're not thinking about it, but your body starts to crave food. And so you start looking for something to satisfy the appetite. Well, your inner body starts to crave food, truth, knowledge, the Word of God. And if you're not careful, if you don't believe that you can really learn the deep things of God from God, then we make the error that many believers have done, myself included, which is taking that hunger and try to satisfy it either through serving God or having experiences, going to services or looking for some type of experience where someone anointed will teach you, someone anointed will lay hands on you, the glory of God will fall on you, looking for affirmation from God that you're still loved, looking for word from God, seeking prophecies. Many believers take that hunger and direct it that way to an experience. They seek the Holy Spirit for an experience rather than seeking the Holy Spirit as a teacher so they can build a relationship with God. See, when you seek it, that hunger causes you to seek and you direct it towards the Holy Spirit as your teacher. You start to gain knowledge from God to yourself. That knowledge feeds you. That's a building block of truth that will last forever inside of you. You're building a relationship that's built on the truth of God and the knowledge of God. That's where the power of God lies, not in an experience. Experiences are wonderful. I'm not saying don't chase those or not have those. I'm saying don't let that be the bedrock of your understanding. Don't let that be the bedrock of your relationship with God, that you're seeking an experience. You're always having to seek after an anointing, seek after a man, seek after an open heaven. He wants to sit down with you. The Holy Spirit does, God does, and teach you line upon line who you really are in His life. You're born of God, and He has a plan for you. He has desires for you that overcome everything the world throws at you, everything life throws at you, everything the devil throws at you, even past your own foolishness and old mistakes. He has a plan and knowledge for you to walk through every battle, but that doesn't come from this world. It doesn't come from one-line slogans on Facebook or nice preaching or nice teaching or from motivational speakers. This is wisdom that comes from the throne room of God, and it will get into you and sit in you and grow in you, and you can add more and more wisdom, more and more knowledge from God Himself. There's no mysteries that He wants to and will withhold from you anymore. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, talking about the nature. We did not receive that old nature. When we went to God and got saved, He didn't give us a nature of the world, but the Spirit, which is from God. But we receive the nature from God. See, there's two sources of knowledge, two sources of wisdom in your life. One will be the wisdom from the world, and one will be wisdom from God. One will be knowledge from the world and culture. One will be knowledge that only comes from the Father's mind. The Holy Spirit will teach it to you. But now you have in you a new nature that brought to life your inner man. So your inner man feeds off of the knowledge that comes from God. Your outward man feeds off the knowledge of this world. And we have to make choices. Who are we going to feed the most? Our carnal man or our spiritual man? Many believers feed their carnal man and they use in that carnality, if their best ability, they serve God with it. But God has a better way for us, a higher way for us, that we grow in the wisdom and knowledge of the Spirit. And our inner man contains that knowledge and grows, and we become stronger and victorious through the wisdom and direction from the Holy Spirit. Not just from an experience. I'm talking about a relationship where you sit down with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to teach you the wisdom of God, the answers that come from the mind of God. That's why we pray in tongues so much. But the Spirit, which is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. See, it's already been freely given to us, but we will have to know it. You have to know it in the Spirit, in your inner man. I'm trying to take the word Spirit and make it not goosebumps and not emotions and not feelings and make it very practical. It's a practical world. The spiritual world is as practical as the natural world. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Here we see that now that you're born again, the Holy Spirit can sit down with you and teach you spirit to spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when we pray in tongues, our spirit prays, but our understanding is unfruitful. Your understanding, it doesn't mean when you pray in tongues, it's just a feeling. It means that the wisdom that the Holy Spirit teaches you, the knowledge, it goes to your inner man, your spiritual man. But your outward understanding can't comprehend it, doesn't understand it. Do you understand that you have an outward man that cannot understand the things of the Spirit? The only thing you can do with this outward body, the outward mind, the outward thoughts and emotions, is make it bow its knee to the truth that's in you, in your inner man. Don't need to educate your outward man. You just need to make it submit to the truth that's in you. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit will teach you spirit to spirit. When you pray in tongues, He's teaching wisdom and knowledge to your spiritual man, your spiritual mind, from His mind to your mind. And you contain it, you obtain it, you hold on to it, it'll last forever. Those are truths, bricks of truth, blocks of truth, rocks of truth, nuggets of truth, whatever you want to say. They don't just come in you and disappear. They stay with you forever. Your inner man, now that it's alive, can be really smart as anyone else who ever lived. That's the power of the inner man now that you're born again. What a beautiful, beautiful gift God gave you. What a beautiful gift God gave us. And so many of us, so many believers, let it slip away their whole life just because they don't know. It's not because that we mean to. It doesn't mean, it's not because we just ignore it. It's, for most of us, we didn't know what we're capable of through the Spirit. We don't know what we're capable of. God does, and that's why we need to follow Him and not follow man's wisdom. Too much of man's wisdom, world philosophy, has crept into the church. And we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to making the church the voice of God. The message of the church is to go from death to life. Not just to be better people, but to be alive people from the Spirit. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, now look at this, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we can say that the natural man here is an unsaved person. That's the wisdom of the world, is for the natural man. The world has great wisdom for natural man. How to live, how to be successful, how to have a successful retirement, how to be healthy. For most things, the world has good answers for the natural man. But you're not a natural man anymore. You're born again. So where do you go for your answers? Do you continue to reach into the world to get answers? Or will you reach into the Spirit, into God, to get your answers? The natural man cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. He can't know them or understand them. Now, the difference is that you're born again isn't that you've lost the natural body. The natural body is still with you. You can see your hands. You can see your toes. You have a natural brain, a carnal brain. You have all that still there. You're still wearing that natural old man, natural man, meat man, carnal man. You're still wearing it. But you also have now a spiritual man that's alive. Before you were saved, you were all natural. The spiritual man was dark, just like the natural man. But you're still wearing the natural man. I'm saying that because you're still going to desire wisdom from this world. Because your natural man desires that. But your spiritual man desires wisdom that comes from God. So the natural man cannot understand. You're still wearing the natural man. Let me read this again. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Here he's simply saying, what man has the right to come tell you what God is telling you? Which man's going to tell God what to tell you? We're supposed to get our direction from God, and you can hear God on your own. Verse 1 of chapter 3. We're almost finished here. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. So here Paul is saying to Christians, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. I cannot give you spiritual truth. See, spiritual truth means that the truth originated in heaven. The truth originated, the knowledge originated, the wisdom originated in the mind of God, and it came to this earth. Either it can come through another man, a preacher can preach the truth, a prophet can prophesy the truth, and that truth will stay in this earth forever because it came through a person. So Paul said, I could teach you spiritual things, but I can't because you're too carnal. Look at this. And I, brother, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So the more we listen and live out of our natural man, the natural man receives its wisdom from the world, and it might be good wisdom, and you can turn that to be used for the kingdom of God, but it's still natural, and it will come to an end. And Paul says, I couldn't speak to you spiritual truths because you were not able to understand it, because you're living too much thinking and living out of the natural man, the natural mindset, the natural carnal mind. Don't you know you have a spiritual mind that can seek and devour and hold spiritual truths? Well, that's the part he says that is underdeveloped and not grown in the knowledge of spiritual truth. So these Christians were walking in the gifts, walking in the power, but yet they were babes in Christ. They had not grown in the Spirit. And this is what I mean. The danger of many believers is seeking after experiences and calling that spiritual. The Holy Ghost moved. The glory came. They have experiences with the Holy Spirit. But the Old Testament saints had experiences with God too that were outside of them. Spiritual here is not talking about goosebumps or feelings or a move of God. It's talking about you sitting down and being taught by the Holy Spirit truths that originated in the mind of God, in the throne room of God, in the throne room of heaven, and they are going into you, into your inner man that's now alive because of your new nature. And praise God, you can understand it. You can understand it. You can grow in the truth and knowledge of God, and there's no limit, and it never expires. The truth never outruns. Many people will come and say, well, you need to eat this healthy. You need to do this to be successful. And it works in the world for some people, but other people it doesn't work. They tell you don't eat eggs, don't eat this. That's all good wisdom. I get it. But then you find out the person lived to 120 and they smoked a cigar and ate pizza and hamburgers and hot dogs every day. It's like, well, that doesn't fit. And then you find someone who lives healthy and they suffer in their health. They eat healthy and they live good, but they're the ones suffering, not the person smoking cigars and eating pizza every day. The wisdom of the world has an end. It's limited, but God's wisdom, it works for you, it works for me, and it works forever. And you're not limited now because you're born again. Nicodemus couldn't see it. He couldn't understand it. Jesus couldn't teach it to him because he was not born again. He did not have the nature of Christ in him. And that nature that you and I receive when we're born again brought to life our inner man, allowing us to now see the kingdom of God, see the wisdom of God. But it doesn't mean it automatically happened, because here's a group of Christians that were serving God and had a big church and were worshiping God, yet they were still babes in Christ. He's not insulting them. He's telling them where they are, that he had to teach them milk. He couldn't teach them meat. They were carnal in their thinking. They chose to serve God through their natural man, their natural ability, in the natural wisdom of their generation. And they were limited in their spirituality. Not you. You're not limited. You don't have to be. Take some time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Allow the knowledge of God to come from him to your spirit. Because your inner man can contain and understand the things of God. In our natural man, we may forget where our keys are. We may forget what we were doing. We may forget what we learned in math class in third grade. But I'm telling you what, you're a spiritual man. It is another world-class creature. Your inner mind, your spiritual mind is alive and lit up by the new nature and light and love. And now God can sit down and teach you personally who you are. He can teach you wisdom and knowledge and mysteries that you couldn't comprehend. The world cannot comprehend. You couldn't comprehend it. before you're born again. But praise God, now that you're born again, that spiritual man, that inner man that you have inside of you right now is alive. And it's hungering for more of God. It's hungering for the wisdom of God. It's hungering for truth. It's hungering for spiritual truth that only will come from the Holy Spirit, will only come from God's mind. It's not taking good sounding advice, good sounding things from the world, bring it into the church and calling it God's idea. That's philosophies of man. Too much of that has crept into the church and crept into our lives, and it will come to an end. It doesn't work for everyone, and it will come to an end. It's limited. But God's wisdom and knowledge for you, He wants to give it to you directly. He's going to give it to you directly if you spend time. Take some time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Read the Word of God. Spend time with God and just watch. Find out what amazing things He has in store for you. And the things that seem to be overcoming in your life, the fears, the struggles, the battles, they'll begin to look smaller and smaller because your inner man will grow up and become stronger and stronger. What causes you to become stronger in the Spirit is not someone laying hands on you. It's not an anointing. It's not a glory cloud. It's not an open heaven. Those things are all nice, but they're just extras. The bedrock of what makes you stronger is that you've taken a knowledge, a truth from the Spirit and mind of God, and you've taken it and you've eaten it through praying in tongues or through meditating the Word, and you've taken it, and that goes into your spiritual man, your inner man, which you have, and it's alive right now, hungering for truth, hungering for God, seeking, searching for God. And you give it that truth, that brick of knowledge, of spiritual knowledge, is built you stronger. You've grown up. You've matured. You've gone from milk and you'll go to meat, where God can teach you things and get you on the road to great victories in your life. The things that used to beat you up will no longer beat you up. The things you used to be afraid of, you'll no longer be afraid of. The things that used to limit you from this world, you tried all kinds of worldly advice, worldly habits, worldly things. It all fell short, but God's wisdom will never fail you. He'll never fail you. He will never fail you. And He wants to teach you. Believe and know. And that's my goal, is try to show you in Scripture, you're not second class to anyone in the kingdom of God. It's not about who's anointed or who walks in. It's not about other people's testimonies. It's you and God. And He wants to walk with you. And you're not second class to anyone. Press into God. Press in and seek the truth. Let's keep praying in tongues. Let's keep meditating the Word. Let's keep pouring into our inner man and focus on growing in the knowledge and wisdom of God. Nothing is impossible for us. God bless you.